This is exactly what I didn't want to do. There's thousands of fucking hot girls on the internet. That's not what I'm doing. So I started posting like lip sync videos. I was like, this seems like a good segue into like, hey, I'm a person. So and then I was like, people are pretty receptive. And I was like, great. Let's just keep fucking slowly being like, I am a person, funny. Yes, yes, peppered in. And I was like, if I lose people, like, I don't really give a shit. This is going to help me later.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Travis Chappell, and I believe that if you can connect with the best, you can become the best. So after creating 800 podcast episodes about building your network, I've come to realize that networking is really just making friends, if you're doing it the right way anyway. Join me as I make friends with world-class athletes like Shaquille O'Neal, entertainers like Rob Dyrdek, authors like Dr. Nicole LaPera, former presidents like Vicente Fox, or even the occasional FBI hostage negotiator, billionaire real estate mogul, or polarizing political figure. So if you want to make more friends that help you become a better version of yourself, then subscribe to the show and keep on listening, because this is Travis Makes Friends. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Travis Makes Friends podcast. Today, I'm sitting down with Nikki Howard. Nikki,
hello.
What's up?
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
You? Thank you for having me.
Of course.
It's been a long time coming.
You know, I knew we were going to get along when I went to your Instagram bio. And I think this was after I watched the video that you and Brent Pella did on Lancaster, which I definitely have some questions about. But so I go to your Instagram bio, and then the only thing that it says is a quote from one of my favorite movies ever. Which is...
Yes, Billy likes to drink soda.
Miss Lippy's car.
Is green.
Is green.
Thank you. You know, I put that there specifically so that I could weed out people that I knew I wasn't going to get along with. I'm like, if you understand this very, very specific quote, we're going to hit it off.
What about you, sideburns? Yeah. You want any of this milk?
No milk will ever be our milk.
No
milk. Yep. If you can't quote at least... 7 lines from that movie.
We're not on the same page.
This is formality.
Have you always been a big fan of comedy and movies like that?
Yeah. I just growing up was... My mom also, she had me way older in life. I grew up on South Park, like as a child,
okay.
Because my mom had no reference point. She was like, it's a cartoon.
It's animated.
Exactly.
It's totally fine. Yeah.
For kids. So that's what I grew up with. And I was like, ah, Crank Yankers. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. Calcium's a bitch. Can I curse on here?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like this. And I remember the first book, one of the first books I read that I as was my choice was Chris Rock's book. It was just
really?
Essentially like a transcript of his stand-up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this is what I need to be doing. This is my life. And my
this
mom,
is like elementary school?
Yeah, but I was probably, elementary school, okay. Like middle school. There's like I have this picture of me reading that book, and next to me is my brother reading Howard Stern's Dirty Words in the backseat of a car. Just, these are my children.
It's not Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys.
Not really. Yeah. My mom's like, my children are reading. This is good.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, yeah, pretty much just from the beginning,
yeah.
I was like, this is it for me.
And for the squares that don't know what movie we're talking about.
Billy Madison.
It's Billy Madison.
Yeah. We didn't even say it.
Yeah, yeah, right. Right.
Yeah, it's Nudie Magazine Day.
Yeah.
That's what it is, guys.
Man, there's so many good parts in that movie. It's ridiculous.
It's great.
What are some of your other favorites?
Movies?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Comedies specifically.
Well, yeah. I don't watch anything other than that, really.
Okay.
When I'm, pretty much any Sandler. I've realized that all of my favorite movies have a negative 12 on Rotten Tomatoes. Freddy Got Fingered, I love, just because it's so absurd.
I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, Freddy Got Fingered?
No.
Daddy, would you like some sausage? It's like Tom Green. I love it. Not because it's like the funniest movie ever, because I'm like, how did they give him so much money to make this?
It's
insane. Go watch it and you'll be like, what
this
the
is ludicrous.
Fuck? Makes no sense.
I fell away with Hot Rod. Did you ever watch
love
Hot Rod?
Hot Rod, yeah.
That was one of my favorites. Is one
my
of
name's
favorites.
Rod. Yeah. I like the party.
That whole
yeah.
scene is
all of
insane.
It. Andy Samberg, Bill Hader.
I know for a fact you do not party.
Yeah. I'm the only one who likes to party. Babe, no babe. That's so
Will
good.
Arnett's it's like small part in that movie.
So
is,
fucking
yeah,
good.
Excellent.
Yeah. Step Brothers. I mean, all of. I don't know. I was really throwing it back the other. A Night at the Roxbury. Also
Roxbury,
has
yeah.
like a 7 on Rotten Tomatoes. Because I recently went through this. I was like, I gotta see. Because they'll give these ratings to movies that are just like, I'm like,
atrocious.
This has
yeah.
no plot.
Right.
I'm like, this is just critics being like, fuck yeah.
Yeah,
I'm like,
right,
let me
exactly.
see what my favorite movies are rated. They're all like dog
not good.
Shit. Not even on there. Yeah, never good. Yes, all of them.
This is an things. Art.
No,
you
know? No. It is to me, though.
But it is. You know?
It's like,
that's why it's subjective.
You have to know what you're watching.
Right.
This is not, they didn't set out being like, this is going to be a thinker piece for
yeah.
people. And they're just like, farts.
Yeah. Like, how many laughs can we get in a 90-minute period?
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is also what's so great about, like, South Park and Family Guy. And
all of it. South Park, it's just beautiful.
It's brilliant. And honestly, and I love any comedy that embraces and makes fun of everybody.
Everybody.
Like,
yes.
I get tired of, like, when I watch something and they're so one-sided all the time.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of late night shows and stuff like that, even now, it's like, you keep hounding this one thing all
the time.
Everything
has,
like,
an agenda.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. But then you go watch South Park and it's like, they make fun of these people. They make fun of those people. They make fun of that person, this, like, this point of view, that point of view.
Yeah.
Christians, atheists.
Everybody.
They make fun of everybody. Nothing's off limits.
No.
And to me, that's like pure comedy.
Yes.
Because
it really
comedy
is.
Should actually be somewhat philosophical and get people to think about things.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, when you have a visceral reaction to something that's said in a stand-up routine or a sitcom or animated show like that, you know, like, it genuinely makes you kind of question yourself and ask you, like, why am I so offended to my core about this?
Right.
Is it really that big of a deal?
Yes.
What am I thinking?
You know what I mean? Or when people just put it in a light that's, oh, I do that. Like, even the stereotypes, it's just like, people laugh if you're making fun of that. Look at Sebastian Maniscalco, like, talking about his Italian family. That crowd is all Italian. And then he's just talking about the stereotypes of his people.
Right.
And it's, people love it because they want to feel like a community. And I mean, granted, there's the other side of the coin where, like, people get, I don't know. It takes a lot to offend me.
I think you can't be in comedy.
That's true. Apparently now you can. I don't know. There's, like, a whole lane of,
that's fair. Like
the woke comics.
Sure.
Which I've never seen.
I just don't understand it. I feel
like that's a contradiction, a woke comic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. How do you push the envelope if you're worried about what people are thinking?
I don't know. Yeah, it is scary, though, now to even, like,
especially when you see the people that, like, flip, like you see, like, a Kimmel.
Right.
Who used to do whatever he wanted to do. And then it was like, all of a sudden it was like, oh, I'm, like, religiously following this particular vein now.
Yeah, I know. People, like, society. It's like everybody, especially when you're, like, when you have bosses, I'm sure, where it's like, you have to, you can't do this because we need the ratings. Blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
Look at SNL.
Right.
Like, what happened to SNL? I'm like, oh, Jesus man. Christ.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, Fall from Glory is what happened.
Oh my God, you guys.
Yeah.
This used to be something.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Now it's like, I might watch a clip or two if they're, like, if it is watched enough to get to, like, my reels or shorts or YouTube or something, then it's like, okay, that's probably actually funny.
Yeah.
But I haven't watched a full show.
No, I can't.
Ages.
I don't like when I feel like something's being forced on me.
Yes.
It's like, if I wanted to watch this, I would just go actively seek it out. But I'm here for comedy, and now I feel like you're pushing your agenda. I don't care what the agenda is. I feel like you're pushing something on me that I don't want to buy.
Right. I just want to laugh.
I'm just trying to zone out.
And to be fair, some of the late night hosts, like, they have some pretty sweet gigs.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're going to sell out, you may as well sell out for getting an awesome job like that.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're like, well,
like you'll put that contract in front of me, like, I might say that too. You know,
I'm saying this because I have no contract. If somebody approached me and
nobody's
was like,
offered yet,
look, I will be as one-sided as possible. Somebody
to be clear, yes, producers.
Yeah, but if you're listening,
my email is
I'll flip immediately. Say the word.
Okay, so how did the Lancaster thing come about? Because are you from LA?
No, I'm from Florida.
Okay, so you live here now. Yeah. How did you even figure out Lancaster existed and then know enough about it to be like, we should make a video making fun of this terrible place?
It's funny you should ask. So, I mean, I've driven through Lancaster before. And so,
for what?
Driven through it to get
somewhere else. Yeah. Or Bakersfield?
Yeah, exactly. It's very similar. Yucaipa, like all of that kind of, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
There's very specific people.
Like, is this California? Does it count as California?
Is everybody okay? What's going on here? Are you guys good? We just forgot that you guys are
the
here.
The answer's no.
Nobody's checked in on you guys. They just put a couple chain restaurants. So, like, they'll be fine.
There's a Chili's.
Yeah, there is a Chili's.
We've made it.
We referenced to make sure. And an Applebee's. So Brent.
Applebee's is new, though.
It's like
the last 5-6 years.
Yeah. Gentrification over there. That's what they call it. There's an Applebee's. They're being gentrified. So Brent Pella and I, who's one of my best friends, writing partner, make a bunch of stuff together. Yeah, so I mean, I don't even remember. We wanted to shoot a video. It was a Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox parody.
Yeah.
And we wanted to shoot it at a cemetery. And we were like, oh, well, there's a cemetery in Lancaster. And I don't know why. We were just like, people in Lancaster, like, what the fuck is going on with them? I'd never, like, explored Lancaster because I'm, you know, why would you?
Normal, yeah.
Yeah, right. But I just from the drive, one or two drives I've had through it, I was like, I think I can get a grasp on these people. And then we thought it was the holidays. And so we were like, well, let's do a
destination video.
Yeah, destination
travel
for someplace nobody wants to go. Yeah. And so it's let's get tourism to Lancaster. And we literally went out there.
What's funny is like it didn't take you very long to find a totally abandoned dirt field with a toilet bowl in it.
Oh, we literally were like next to the cemetery and we're like, yeah, let's just walk. And then that's what happened. We were just like, this is perfect. We could not have asked for a better location.
Yeah, we didn't have to scout. Like we didn't drive to 9 dirt lots to look for a toilet.
We parked and then walked around and shot the video.
And this is like the cemetery for those listening is like by Lancaster Boulevard.
Yeah.
This is like downtown Lancaster. Yeah.
I was like, this is perfect. And we just looked at stuff and we were like, that. Yep. I'll put a pregnant belly on.
So
wig.
Funny.
Yeah, Brent had like a mustache and like blood, like gloves, fingerless leather gloves. Yes. I was like, I'll put some pink leggings on and a lot of rhinestones and say I cut hair. What else do you do in Lancaster?
That is a good question.
Yeah. So
you cut hair or you work at Northrop is basically.
Yeah. Such a niche video. Sometimes we do videos and we're just like, this is for us or like a very specific group of people.
Right.
I don't look at any of the, I feel like the only one, but for my own sanity, I can't look at like the analytics or anything because I'm like, the second I start investing in, oh, how did this do? And I have to just write what I think is funny and otherwise I'm going to go fucking nuts.
Yeah, you're going to make videos based on what you think works versus what you actually like to make videos
about. Yeah, and I'm very observational. It's just my style of comedy is like observational. So the second I'm like, oh, I should do, it's like you box yourself in. So thank God. Otherwise, I don't know if we would have done that video. How many people want this right now? This Lancaster video.
It's in high demand. It's a trending search.
Exactly. Lancaster comedy.
Well, it made me laugh. And
Thank you.
I think that is the video that I found you on the first time. And then I started seeing a bunch of stuff with you in TV Emerson.
Yeah.
And I was like, this girl is hilarious.
Oh,
so that's when I had to reach out and get you on the show. But it was just like such a perfect video. I sent it to all my, you know, buddies from growing up and stuff, and everybody's laughing at it. How did you and Brent get in touch?
We met through Stevie, and I met Stevie through a friend of mine from high school was like, because I'd been trying to, I was out here auditioning, booking stuff, nothing was comedy. And I was like, how do I
express this part of myself?
Well, I was like, I'm telling my agent, I was like, I don't want to do like this stuff. I want to do comedy.
And
I remember being told multiple times, you don't look funny. And I was like, I don't know what to do about that. That's not okay. Like literally that was my note.
Yeah.
You don't look funny. And I was like, dope. Okay. Where do I go from here? What do I do? So I was like, I guess I'll just make my own shit and show you guys. And then maybe when you see that I can be funny, you'll be like, oh, okay, she can do it. So I just was trying to, right around that time, a friend of mine sent me Stevie stuff and was like, you should reach out to this guy. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. So I messaged him and he was like, let's write. And we wrote. And then ever since then, I was like, he's one of my best friends. We do a bunch of shit together. And he kind of like showed me what he was doing. And then I met Brent and I just met like my whole group of people and started a channel and was like, fucking hope this shit works. This could end poorly, but it worked out. So,
you know what? Nothing really ends poorly when you enjoy it so much.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Tell that to people addicted to meth.
Lancaster.
Everybody in Lancaster. No, but I was just, you know, because it's like you start this thing and you're like, I have no idea if people are going to be receptive. Nobody knows who I am. I don't look funny. God damn it. So I'm like, here we go. But just trust it. And then I was like, one video a week forever. And then I just did it and I didn't even promote it. And I just somehow grew and here we are.
Well, when you're actually funny, that's how.
Thank you.
That's not somehow. That's directly correlated to you having some chops.
Yeah. Well, I was just like, I mean, I'm, again, I'm
in
like,
in spite of your looks.
Yeah. It's like so hard to be me. No, but it's just like, I mean, you have to be realistic about what you look like in this business and be
sure.
like,
yeah, yeah.
I was well aware. I'm like, there's zero longevity to like being this person. So how do we figure out a career?
Alternate path forward.
Yeah, I was just like, all right, well, I'll skate by on this for as long as I can and see if I can build a career in the time it takes. When it starts to fade, I'll have something under my belt. So here we are, staying strong. But yeah, so anyway, my whole goal was not like, I was like, I don't want to be like a YouTuber. I just want to show people I can do this. So then
sure.
I can
be
like,
taken seriously.
Well,
when
people
I
can look
roles.
At, I can even have the opportunity to audition for these roles. Cause I wasn't even getting
not
auditions.
Even getting in the door. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. They look at your headshot and they're like, no.
Sexy cup two. I was like, I don't want to do this. Is this my career? And I'm also like, there's so many girls that are like stoked to be sexy cop
sure,
too.
Right,
like,
right.
They're, that's the dream. I'm
yeah,
like, that's just
not.
Yeah. I have more to offer. I can do more. So yeah, it's been working luckily, but I'm just like hoping to kind of transcend. I'm like, I really want to like Jimmy Tatro it. Take like, I got a YouTube thing. Now start booking like stuff and get out. Keep it, but
sure,
you know.
Well, what a cool time to be alive, though.
God, you know, that's what I'm saying.
Can you imagine like trying to do that when the gatekeepers were the only way?
Fuck,
you know, like
no.
What do you do?
Blowjobs. Yeah. Which I probably wouldn't have been above. All right, man.
If this is the path.
See what I can do.
All right, Harvey.
Do I look funny now? Sorry. Not PC man. Of me. Anyway, there's that.
We've already covered that.
That's true.
You can't be funny and PC.
It's just tough. I mean, it's me. Yeah. Make fun of myself here. But yeah, and now I'm here and now doing this interview. This is fucking yeah. sick that you're like, I was so stoked. It took so long for anybody listening. Like, you reached out to me like a year and a half ago. And and I'm like, I can't come to Lancaster. It's trip there. And then you're like, I'm here. And so finally it's happening. And I'm
yes.
stoked about it.
Oh, well, God. I appreciate you taking the time.
I appreciate you being persistent and reminding me.
If there's one thing I am, Nikki, it is persistent.
It's so good, though. I also am, too. But it's like how you get shit done.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. You got to deal with a lot of rejection in basically any field that you're in.
Yeah.
But I assume the field that you're in is got to be like I did 6 years of door-to-door sales and like management, training, recruiting
what
and
did you
all
sell?
That stuff. A lot of stuff. I started in solar, did alarms for a while, did water purification for a while, sold roofs, sold, yeah, a bunch of different stuff.
Door
to door? Door to door.
I was just
100% commission. Door
to door. Holy shit. I'm picturing like Cutco knives.
Yeah. I actually, that was one thing I never sold Cutco. I never sold Kirby vacuums and I never sold pest control.
Dude,
those
Cutco
are like the
got you though.
They
fucking came out with a penny and they were like, I'm gonna cut
this
penny.
They're savages.
I will never forget. They came into my home when I was a child. My mom watched them cut a penny.
And she bought a $3,000 set of knives.
She was like, I'm like, when are you ever going to be needing to do that ever?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's an option.
The next dinner party. Check out this penny I can cut.
That's crazy though. And yeah. I always thought like, God, that's fucking brutal.
It is brutal.
Yeah.
Which is why I have a podcast now.
Yeah, exactly. But that's it. Like you keep doing it. That's I have so much respect for that. I could never.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say the same thing. But what I was going to say is besides door to door and like cold calling in a you know a call center, like those two things and auditioning for stuff and doing comedy and trying to kill on stage with original material and then go audition for stuff, like those three things have to be like the most rejection that you could possibly face.
Dude,
a career field.
I bet Jehovah's Witnesses have such thick skin.
Oh, well, so funny you bring that up because I grew up in Lancaster.
Yeah.
There's basically everything that exists in Lancaster. And then there's a compound out there that's an independent fundamental Baptist church.
Holy shit. Of course there is.
So
a compound.
Yes. It's like 40 acres.
Lancaster is a compound.
By itself. Right. But the people in the community refer to this church as the compound. Like, oh, you go to the compound. Because it's literally like, I mean, Lancaster's a pretty small town.
Right.
But this church is like 8,000 members. And in this like cultish community in the IFB, which is like a subsect of a subsect of a subsect in a broader religion, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was like, it's such a weird place for this massive campus. You know, it's like, it's all state-of-the-art buildings, like 40 acres. There's a college, there's a publication ministry, there's a K-12 school, and there's a church all
Holy
on this campus.
Shit.
And so I grew up there almost literally grew up at the campus because I went there from kindergarten all the way through my senior year of college.
Oh my God.
So that was like growing up in this like bubble inside of Lancaster.
In a bubble.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Shit.
So I bring that up to say that I was knocking doors when I was like 7.
It's in your blood.
Because every Saturday we'd go knock doors and invite people to come to church.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow. So did it work ever? I always feel so bad. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess.
I was 11 years old, Nikki, 12, 13 maybe, in junior high. So 12, 13. And I would knock on people's doors. And I was more of a natural salesperson.
Yeah.
Because there's a ton of people who grew up the same way I did, who tried the door-to-door thing that I was doing. Because I tried to recruit them and be like, hey, come do this thing. We're making money, doing pretty well. And they just couldn't hack it.
That's
so
tough.
I think I was kind of naturally good at it. But when I was like 12 or 13, I would knock people's doors, invite them to come to church. And then like a minute into the conversation, I would ask them the question dead serious. And I'm talking to an adult, like a grown ass man or, full, you know, like a mom of 4. And I'm like, do you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And I would lead them in the sinner's prayer on their doorstep.
Oh my God.
Convert them and then bring them to church the next day.
Dude, it's almost like more powerful coming from a child. Like, because you're like, what do you know that I don't know? Yeah. You know what I mean?
You're so sure and I'm so confused.
Yeah, like, you've got it figured out.
You seem certain.
Damn.
In a field of uncertainty.
That's crazy. And you're also like, Anne, would you like, how's your solar? Yeah.
Also, how's that energy bill treating
you? Well, I've
got
you here.
Would you like some predictability?
Damn. That's crazy. Yeah, it's in your blood.
So yeah, I grew up doing that. Damn. And then did a bunch door-to-door. And then moved into podcasting. But I say that to say that like rejection's a part of anything you try to do.
Yeah.
Especially if it's off the beaten path in any way, it's unconventional. It's not even a matter of if, it's just a matter of when and how many times.
Yeah, it's just
and
implied.
Can you keep going?
Exactly. You could be the best at whatever you do, but are you resilient enough to just keep getting kicked in the balls?
Because you're gonna, like, no matter how good you are, you will still be rejected.
Every day.
All the way up to the top.
Yeah. You know even when you've made it.
Yeah.
People are still going to hate you. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it's part of it.
You know what's interesting? Do you know Tim Ferriss?
No.
So he wrote the book, The 4-Hour Work Week, like multiple New York Times bestselling author, extremely successful guy by all standards, you know, he has a massive podcast, actually, like one of the top rated podcasts in all of iTunes. And he's kind of the guy that reverse engineers, you know, world-class people and whatever. And he's talked to every super successful person that you can imagine, really at the top of the game. And he wrote a book called, two of them. One of them was Tools of Titans. The other one was Tribe of Mentors. And they were both basically almost like collections, like fucking like encyclopedias of like blurbs of conversations that he would have with like billionaire investors or like Arnold Schwarzenegger and like distilling success advice and whatever. And in his second book, I believe it was Tribe of Mentors, he has an entire section in the book that's filled with rejection letters from people who didn't want to give him blurbs for that book. And this is like his 7th book. Yeah. He's sold millions and millions of copies of The 4-Hour Work Week and some of The 4-Hour Body, of Tools of Titans. He's a very, very well-known, very popular podcaster, author, speaker, you know what I mean? Investor, angel investor. He's put money in all the big companies when they were all really small. And even he, I remember like reading that part and being like, if this dude still gets this much rejection, and like, what the fuck chance do I have? It's just, you either decide you got to do it or you decide that you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not going to avoid it.
Yeah. But I also love that he put that in the book as like a fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, right. that's what I think. I'm like, God, that's the dream.
Oh,
like,
it was a classy move because then he still put the people in the book that didn't want to be in the book.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Like, he just asked for their permission afterwards. They were like, no, I don't want to do it. And he was like, do I have your permission to publish this? Because the whole book was a chapter about how to say no to people.
Right.
So he was like getting a bunch of people to say no to him who he didn't want to say no to him. But when they did, he was like, this is actually helpful advice for people who tend to say yes to too many things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it ended up being a super helpful chapter, but also ended up getting all the people who said no to actually kind of say yes.
Oh my God.
Which was like
totally
ninja
mind
move.
Fucked them. Yeah. I should read this book.
it's a doozy of a book.
Yeah, I bet. I'm always.
It's one of those like toilet books. You know,
I was just thinking
you just
that
read like 2 pages.
I didn't want to say it because I was like, I haven't read this book and it could totally not be that. But I was like, this sounds like a good book to leave in a bathroom.
Yes.
It's like blurbs of success.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. So I think rejection's, you know, it's just the barrier to entry.
It sucks though.
But it's not fun.
No, but I feel like it's good. Like my group of friends, we all kind of, I don't know if it's just us, but sometimes I'll just like randomly get like the urge to, because I know everybody's really, we're all really hard on ourselves. So I'll just text, or I'll get a text, or I'll send a text out that's just like, hey, you're fucking awesome. And we're doing this shit. And like just out of nowhere. And it's just, we got to do that, because otherwise we're just like nothing's happening. But it's easy when you're, it's not you to see, holy shit, look how far you've come. Look at what you've done.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
I just feel like it's important to remind everybody that.
Yeah, it's the whole gap and the gain concept where it's like we tend to focus on the gap, what we have not yet achieved versus looking back and being like, well, I've come a pretty long way.
Yeah, I've done some shit.
You know,
knocking on doors. Yeah, exactly. Jesus.
Yeah, but you know, there's no other way to make it happen. And that goes back to the persistence thing. It's like, you're going to get rejected. So
yeah.
Either persist and work through it or go get a job.
Exactly.
You know, which there's no shame in.
No.
But you can't do this and then complain.
Right.
When you're getting all this, these rejections.
Or, my favorite is like the person who gets the job and then like uses the job as an excuse as to like why they're not. Like,
yeah.
You got to do like, to do it both.
Exactly.
How bad do you fucking want this shit?
Exactly.
You figured out.
I did not enjoy door-to-door.
No.
And so I started the podcast and I invested tens of thousands of dollars into this new thing that I was doing, not knowing anything about what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Knowing full well that I might be pissing away tens of thousands of dollars that I didn't really have.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is all on a credit card.
But,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
0% credit card, by the way. I did it smart.
Yeah.
Right? So chill, Dave Ramsey. It was 0%. And I never paid a dime in interest because I paid it off like with money from the new thing that I started. But I took it that serious. And my point is like I was still knocking doors, working my job, making money, paying my bills, and then doing this in my free time.
Right. Exactly.
You know, like
you just said,
like, how bad you want
to
do it.
Are you willing to just like really gamble on yourself? That's what I did too. I got all of the equipment to make sketches. I was just like, spent hours trying to learn Premiere and like audio equipment and like what is Aperture? And I'm like, okay, all right, what? Fuck, I'm losing so much money every day that I do this for years.
Expensive.
And I'm so much time.
Yeah.
And you're just like, fucking hope this works.
I did
works.
Not want to be a videographer.
No, I don't want to do any of this shit. I just want to show up. That's all I want. Still to this day, I'm like, am I funny now?
Yeah.
It's working. Like, look at, see, I have, but I'm so grateful. You know, it's like so fucking glad I did it.
Cause yeah.
Especially now, you know, like if I'm not at the mercy of Hollywood.
Somebody else's decision making.
Telling me like, oh, you can't do this or you can't do this.
Right.
Everyone's on strike now. I'm like, I don't have to worry about it. Thank God. I'm like, I've got my own shit going on. And it's like, you get to work with your friends and talk to new people and do new shit. What a fucking life.
Did you have a 9-to-5 type job before when you were trying to get things started?
I moved to New York and I was in school there and I was modeling from a very young age. I don't know what happened, but maybe because I'm like a Capricorn and I'm very business oriented and I always knew I wanted to do this. But I was like, I remember I turned 16. My mom was like, you can model when you fucking get a car. Cause I was like, oh, you did it, mom. I could do it. And she was like, I don't want you to do it. You're going to get a fucking eating disorder. I don't want to deal with it. This was her advice to me. I was like, mom, I'm not going to get an eating disorder. Like, I promise you. And by that time I was already like,
always awesome when kids say those types of things.
Yeah.
Like they know better.
Yeah. I was like, mom, don't worry about it for sure. It wasn't like, don't get pregnant either, which I was like, all right, this is way more serious. But at that time I was like doing elementary school, I was doing plays. And then I was at this performing arts middle school. You had to audition. It was a whole thing. And so I was like always trying to like, all right, I know what I want to do.
Yeah.
So I was doing like community theater and I was like, okay, I don't want to be a model, but I was like, if I start modeling, then when I move to New York and go to school, then I'll have a portfolio and maybe I can get money doing that and then probably get an agent for commercial work because that seems like a good trajectory of doing that. And then maybe once I have a commercial agent, I can start doing smaller roles. I have no experience in show business whatsoever, but I always knew for some reason, I was like, I'm going to have to do this. I'm not going to get an audition that's going to, I don't know what that even meant, but I was like, I'm going to have to make this happen myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why, but I was like, all right. But I had the good grasp on the steps that I needed to take, the logical steps to get to like, okay, model and then commercial and then maybe some TV stuff and then maybe movies. So that seems like it makes sense and like
doable. It's a linear path. Yeah.
It was very linear. So But when I had been, I was in high school and I had three jobs in high school. I worked at a gym, a tanning salon, and Starbucks.
Nice.
And I was like, I turn 18, I'm getting the fuck out of here. So when I was in school, but I had also been modeling and doing like little jobs here. So I was in school in New York, I was modeling.
What were you in school for?
Acting. I went to like acting conservatory. I was like, meh, sure. something. So I was like rolling around on the ground and crying and breathing. And I was like, this maybe will be helpful. But I was doing like, I was self-submitting myself to everything. And then I ended up getting a commercial agent when I was in New York and a modeling agent there. So I was going out in auditions and in school. And I was a pizza prostitute, which is like, you know, you stand on the corner, you're like, get pizza.
Pizza. Did you dress up?
No.
Oh, okay.
I fucking wish. I just stood there and I was like, does anybody want pizza? But that's the closest I've ever come to door to door. And I fucking hated it. I was like, I can't do this. Hey, even people that
that's a product you believe in, though.
If you either want pizza or you don't, man, like, I can't force this on you. It's your life. You know, you do what you want to do. If people want pizza, they're going to get it. I don't know. But anyway, I was just like, sure. So by the time I was like, I went to New York, I had a book already. And then I was doing commercial work and I ended up moving to LA because I was like, I could have such a better quality of life and be equally as poor if I just moved to LA. Like, New York is just so brutal to live.
I was going
to
say, why? Like, difference between New York and LA for you at that time then?
Oh, well, I always want to live in New York. My family's like generations of New York Jews.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's just like in my blood. We're New York.
Yeah.
But I was like, that seems like a good place to live. I always wanted to just live there. I'm glad I did because the hustle of New York,
sure.
You just go.
How long were you there?
I was there for 3 years.
Okay.
And then I moved here and I was like, everyone is just sitting around. So I was like, what the fuck? But I moved here. And the second I moved here, I was like, submit. I had my agent was bi-coastal at the time.
Okay.
And then I ended up getting a commercial agent here. So, and then I was just submitting myself. I was like, I cannot get a real job. I can't do it. Like, I just, my apartment in Venice was like $700 a month.
That's cheap.
I was split it. I know. I sublet it. It was crazy. So it was like $1,400 for 2-bedroom and it was an absolute shithole. But I was like, I don't give a fuck. This is fucking awesome.
Somebody shooting up outside.
Yeah. Yeah. I swear to God, a homeless guy broke into our building like week two. We lived there. They had the SWAT team come. He barricaded himself in the building. I was like, I was $700 a month. Like, sure. Whatever, man. But I was like, so I was doing like trade shows and like modeling and auditioning and I started auditioning, but... And then Instagram came out at that time. And like, I met one of my best friends at a trade show. And she was like, do you have an Instagram? And I was like, I don't know what that is. And I was like, oh, why the fuck? I was like, why would I get that?
It's like the new Facebook.
Yeah. Well, I was just like, why the fuck? Who gives a shit what I'm doing? And she was like, I make $1,000 a month on that. And I was like, and Instagram, I've got it.
And that's I-N-S.
Yeah. I was like, perfect. But, and I was like, well, I don't know what the fuck to post. And she was like, just post like, you have a bunch of pictures.
Yeah.
So I had this whole portfolio of modeling and I was like, I guess I'll just post that. So then I started getting like random like influencer things and I was like, that's fucking tight. Let's do that.
Yeah.
So I'm like auditioning, like self-submitting, getting like weird little like e-com modeling jobs. And the whole time I'm like building this following of like creepy fucking dudes. And I'm like, that's tight because I'm making money, but also like this gets me nowhere.
But I don't want to get into like the foot picture selling game.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm getting so far away from what this feels so disingenuous from who I am. Like, I'm like, and then I would be like shooting and working, and people like, you're just like, why not who you seem like you would be?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, why don't you put that? And I'm like, I don't know. At that, I was like, nobody wants to see that. These fucking guys don't want to see that.
You gotta keep the aesthetic of the feed, you know, consistent.
No feet were shown, thank God.
No, feed.
Oh, I thought
the
you
Instagram
said feet.
Feed.
I was like, that's a different lane.
That's not Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. The feet. Yeah, I was just like, I don't know. But at that point, I was just like, fuck it, this isn't, I now have this tool of like something that could get me to where I want to be. And I'm making like, my overhead was low. So I was able to like swindle a lot of shit from like food and shit. I was like somehow managed to like get food.
Well, pizza.
Pizza. No, but like Instagram, I was like working with this meal prep company.
Yeah, okay,
so it wasn't like I was like making all this money, but I was like, how can
I do a lot of swaps and
trades? How can I hack the system? Yeah. So it was like very low overhead and making somehow bartering for posts and whatever. But I was like, fuck it. I can't. This feels like such a fucking chore. It's getting me nowhere. This is exactly what I didn't want to do, is like be hot. I'm like, there's thousands of fucking hot girls on the internet. That's not what I'm doing. Well, all right, let's just post some shit. So I started posting like lip sync videos. I was like, this seems like a good segue into like, hey, I'm a person. So and then I was like, people are pretty receptive. And I was like, great. Let's just keep fucking slowly being like, I am a person, funny. Yes, yes, peppered in. And I was like, if I lose people, like, I don't really give a shit. This is going to help me later. So yeah, and then, but to answer your question, very long term, no, I never had to get, but I was like at like CVS passing out like salad dressing. I was doing that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was right, like.
It was gigs.
Yeah, it was a lot. I was doing a lot of gigs, heavy on the gigs.
Yeah, so if 14. You put your resume together, it would just be like 18 pages.
Yeah, I was like, probably not. It was like a lot of it was like off the books too. It was like,
yeah, yeah.
So
oh, totally.
What was this
under the table
11 year gap in your resume? I was like pretty trying to find myself a lot in Vegas at trade shows, like cigar trade shows. Just gross. Just getting groped. I'm like, all right, man, give me my $500. I'm out of here. See what happens.
But you you pieced it together though.
Oh yeah.
Did you ever have second thoughts, or did you ever second guess yourself kind of being like, I wonder what would happen if I just moved back home and got
never once. I was like, this has to work. There was no like
escape plan.
Yeah, and that's because a lot of people like I would go back home and visit and people would be like, so what if this doesn't work? And I'm like, no, that's not
sure.
Never once has that crossed my mind of like, if this, I feel like the second you start thinking of that, well, I am fully invested in this. If this doesn't work, I'm fucked. Like, legitimately, like, it has to.
Well, but there's something so powerful about that level of commitment.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in these hyper competitive fields.
Right.
Because there's some people, like, that are ultra talented. And then you have to go compete with these people.
Yeah.
And then if you do anything other than work on that craft, you're obviously going to get left in the dust.
Yeah.
If you do the half-assed job, you get less than half-assed results.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like you have to put in extraordinary effort.
Unless you're someone's kid.
To get extraordinary results. Yeah, right.
Yeah, which happens a lot.
But you have like, a cool-ass name.
I'm fucking going up against people's kids.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Shit, man.
Right.
So
against people that have other advantages.
Right, exactly.
That are not like accessible
right.
to you or to us like normal people.
Yeah, I know.
Out here trying to make it happen.
It's
you know?
Just so crazy. Once you get into it, you're like, there's so much. And the,
nepotism. And
now that I'm like making my own shit, like I used to just be like, what the fuck? Just give me a chance. But now that I'm like producing my own shit and spending money, I'm like, I totally get why they wouldn't hire me and they would hire Zooey Deschanel. Like they know people like her already. And like they already, so it's like you kind of understand that, but it's still like,
yeah, like when you're the person that's investing the money into the thing, you're kind of like, I kind of understand. Because I wouldn't take a chance on that person either when I have a for sure thing here. Yeah.
But if you look at their proof of concept here, this endless, maybe you'll see she can do it. Yeah, I don't know. It's fucking wild. But what a crazy turn that everything took. And now it's almost like you don't even have to be good if you have a following.
Well, because a lot of those same people that are investing a ton of money into it,
they
know at the end of the day, regardless of the final product, it has to sell. It has to be viewed. People have to like actually fucking care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when you're out there and you have already done the legwork of media distribution for them, they're like, oh, well, this person like has 112 followers, but this person has 643,000 followers. Yeah. If we cast this person, if they're apples to apples in terms of talent, in terms of their fit in the role,
they never are.
Then it's
like, they never fucking are. That's the problem. That's my problem.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, what did you even like audition this person? Like, or you just, I don't know. I have so much to say about it. And, you know, Brent and all my friends, we really try to like, make a really good product and we like invest and got fucking gaffers and good sound and like it's like a legit
high quality
production
for sure. Yeah.
And then I'm like, we're looking at like TikTok feeds of
and NPCs.
Yeah. I'm like, first of all,
yum yum banana or whatever.
I'm like, and 40 million views. Oh, I'm like,
$7,000 a day.
What are we do? What?
Yeah.
What do we do?
Right.
What do we do? I don't know. I'm like, but that is so weird, by the way. What can, do you know about, what is it? Is it sexual? Like, I don't,
you know,
I can't figure it out.
So I think the answer is technically no, but
me pitching this to my mom is my new career path. Yeah.
So mom, it's technically not sexual.
No.
However, you know, if you have a hot girl with a somewhat low cut top, that's pretending to be
sexual,
this thing.
But
then,
also,
a lot of the guys that are watching it are going to turn it into something sexual.
Classic.
Yeah.
But I don't
they're,
get...
They're talented folks,
how did
guys.
That get... Yeah. The guys that turn everything sexual, they really are much more so than the NPCs, I think. It's a gift.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't... I just don't...
It's wild
I'm
me.
Like, how is this... Yeah. I just want to rally everyone and be like, have we lost our minds?
Like, if TikTok was already the bottom of the barrel, then this is...
What's next?
Where are we here? What is this?
I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
The pendulum has swung.
But she was making... This one girl, anyway, was making $7,000 a day.
Someone told me that, too.
For a couple hours of just, pretending to be a non-player character.
I thought that was an insult. I've heard that used as an insult before, NPCs.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Joke's on you.
When you're making $200,000 a month.
Look at my mansion.
Of cash flow. Yeah, right. Exactly. I'll cry myself to sleep in my Lamborghini.
Yeah. I was talking about this recently. I'm like, can you imagine bringing a girl home for Thanksgiving dinner? And your family, you got to, she's there, your family's like, what do you do? And she's, I'm an NPC. Yeah. Your grandma's like, what is that?
It would be.
You got an uncle who's just is this sexual? It would technically, no.
Technically, Uncle Joe, it's not. Oh, but fuck. Here's the link.
Yeah. Link in bio.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're going to have to spend some money, though.
Jesus
Christ. If you want to give her a cherry or whatever the fuck. I don't understand.
It's Donkey Kong for people. I don't know. I don't get it, man. I'm trying to figure it out.
I don't think it's meant for regular people to get.
I don't think it's, I don't think it's something to get. Just look at it.
But then with the girl, if you did bring her home to a family, it's hard to argue that, we also flew here on a jet.
Right.
So,
yeah.
It's weird, but...
It's what we do.
But we're ditching and we're going to go eat at Nobu.
Yeah, exactly. More power to
them. Enjoy your turkey.
I know.
Yeah.
Fuck.
You know, it's what happens when you try to do things the right way. You know, it's you got to see, sometimes you got to be totally cool with taking short-term L's because it's that is something I will never do.
Yeah.
I don't care how much money it is.
Yeah.
I'll never do it.
That's the thing. You know? There's so much stuff too that I'm like, God, I would be so much further ahead in my career if.
Yeah. But further ahead by whose definition?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Or financial, whatever.
Sure.
There's so many times where I was like, man, I wish I didn't have to, when I was super fucking broke, I'm like, God, I wish my mom didn't instill these morals in me that I you know what I mean?
Yes,
God,
I do
damn
know what
it.
You mean.
If I didn't know that this would impact my career negatively.
Yeah.
But it's also I'm not set, my humor.
If I didn't have the wisdom to see the future.
Yeah. If I didn't know exactly how men thought, pretty much I would just totally fuck it. But you can't.
Yeah.
To me, I don't know. I think maybe I have more of a man brain where I'm just I wouldn't take me seriously either if my titties were out. fuck. Why would you listen to my jokes? I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. Exactly. Fuck, I don't know. But that's also not self-relatable comedy. I'm not I'm not Eliza selling sexual comedy. So
right.
It's tough when I'm I don't know.
Yeah. Like you said, it's tough when you have values. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's tough
really,
out here for value-based folks.
So true. Our morals. Yeah. A strong moral compass.
Yeah. Fuck. Right. I was at, find myself in these random dinners and rooms with people that are extremely wealthy.
Yeah.
And inevitably, when you're in some of those rooms, you meet a lot of really, really great, cool people who've built amazingly valuable companies who have given back and make a huge impact. And I love those people.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you get in rooms of people who kind of had that flash in the pan wealth, or they come from family money, or they they accepted Bitcoin payment in 2012, and then now they're worth $700 million. You know what I mean? And but they think that they're a business person,
right. Yes.
Even though they'd never made everything they objectively do loses money,
right.
But they have so much money from this one thing. And you get in the room with those people, and you're just oh.
Yeah.
God, you are just a nightmare of an individual. Like,
and they try and tell you what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I've been trying to do that more, to like network and put myself and like talk to people and go places, which I fucking hate doing.
Yeah.
Hate going places and meeting new people. I fucking can't stand it, but I'm trying because it's important.
Doing stuff stinks.
To have experiences and things. But I do find myself around, you know, actors and like people that are in the business, but very similar where it's, I'm doing this and I'm doing this. And I'm like, fucking kill me. But because so much of it, it's, are you doing that? Or are you just saying that you do that and you just not do it? Like, I don't know what to believe. And it's
way too much dick measuring that goes on.
Right.
And it's like, you don't even know if you're using the right measuring tape.
Right. Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or if there is, should I bring one? I don't know. It's a lot. But there are people, like you said, when you meet people that are actually doing and actually have good advice, you're like, oh.
It reminds you why you're doing it. It's like you still got to do it. Like, to me, that's where the opportunity comes from.
Right.
You know what I mean? And obviously, like, my show was called Build Your Network for a long time. But we switched it to Travis Makes Friends because it was like, after doing a show about quote unquote networking and like doing a deep dive into it, and I read a bunch of books and I was talking to all the best people in the world about this subject. And after a while, I was just like, the people that I know that are the most well-connected people who have been around for a long time, which is important to me, who have a seemingly good reputation with the majority of the people that they meet. Nobody's going to please everybody.
Yeah.
But if they have an overwhelming majority of people, you know, see them in a positive light, they do good things in the world, they put out, you know, they add more value to everybody in their life than they you know, take from other people. It's like when I see those people, they're not like networking.
Right.
They are making friends.
Yeah.
Like they are just going out, meeting people, connecting on commonalities, finding things that you have that are maybe similar, adding value where they see that they can, making an introduction or recommending a book, or they're there, they're valuable. And then those people are opportunity manufacturers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like when you get around opportunity manufacturers, you can't help but slip into opportunities sometimes. They're like, how the fuck did I get here? And it's like, oh, well, if you intentionally put yourself in rooms with people who have an abundance of opportunity flowing out of them, it's just like, you're going to catch some of that sometimes. Yeah.
See, that's the thing, though. That's, I need more. I have like a bad connotation with networking because it feels like you're going there with an agenda.
Exactly.
And like, it just feels desperate. Whereas like, I just feel gross going
it's
like,
done the wrong way.
It's
and that's
networking.
The problem.
Right. And these people just think I want shit from them. And everybody's like a fucking blood sucking piranha.
Leech.
Either you're the guy that everybody wants something from, or you're the person that's like,
yeah, I gotta go talk to this person.
It's like none of that's good. So I've always tried to stay away from that.
Mm-hmm.
So approaching situations with like making friends, like you're saying, like just no expectations, like this person could be cool and things, who knows what they do? I don't know.
Right.
Or not, but.
And being okay with, you're not going to connect with everybody. Even if you connect in terms of we shook hands and we met, maybe we just have nothing in common.
Yeah.
And it's like, I thought that they would be like, I've met plenty of people that I was like, oh, I really want to meet that person. Cause like, it seems like we have a lot of aligned interests and, you know, similar personalities or backgrounds or whatever.
Yeah.
And you meet them and spend time with them. You're like, eh, this guy's kind of a douche.
This guy sucks.
Nah, I don't want to be here anymore. You know what I mean?
I'd like to leave now.
Yeah. So, but then you leave and then, but you also like through that person, you met these two other people.
Right.
And they're your people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, it's hard to know that if you never go out and meet the other, you know what I mean? Every dud knows a stud, you know what I mean? It's just like you might, it's always the dormant ties, like the weaker connections where it's like, oh, this person introduced me to that person. I met that person at that person's party who introduced me to that person. And that person they're my best friend.
Yeah.
Or they've done this thing. And it's just, they're such an awesome, amazing human being. I can't imagine my life without that person. And then, you know what I mean? It's like, I would have never met them if I had not met that person who introduced me to that person.
I know,
person,
it's
that
crazy
person.
When you think that. You know what I mean? You're like, Jesus. But it is, there are those people that are like, I'm sure you know them. You might be this person where you meet them and they're like, you have to meet X, Y, and Z. They're like connectors. There are people that are truly like on this planet and they just fucking connect people. Yeah. And you're like, how? This is crazy. I know like a handful of people that are like that. And like the second you meet them, they're like, you have to meet this person. And this person is, you guys are going to, like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You're just like, oh, okay. Like,
I do tend to do that.
Yeah, I need those people because I'm not that guy. I'm just like, if you think that, I trust you. I just met you, but like, you seem very sure. of what I need to do for my career.
Yeah, it's the certainty rubbing off.
Yeah, it's just like they see it.
Right.
So I don't know enough people to do that. I'm like, you should meet my fucking mom because I know her.
And she's cool.
She's cool, I guess.
Sometimes. She can be cranky.
If you catch her on a good day. Yeah. I don't know. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm really trying to like to do more of that, but it's tough.
It is tough, yeah. Especially when you have a good group of people already. Yeah. It's so tempting just to be like, why wouldn't I just go hang out with the people I already know that I like?
Right. Or I'm like so busy. I'm like, I just don't even want to go. If I'm not hanging out with the people I already like
right.
I just don't.
I want to go home and watch Netflix.
Yeah. I just, it's a lot of mental energy just being.
It is. Would you consider yourself introvert or extrovert?
Yeah, I am. This is a new thing for me where I try and like live a life and not be so forever. I'm very type A. I'm very linear. If I'm not working towards my career, I'm wasting time here. Mm-hmm. Like my thought process was very much, if I don't make it, I don't want it to be because I didn't do everything in my fucking power to make it happen. Like I will be able to rest easy knowing.
Eliminate all regret.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was my thought process forever until recently when I realized I do the same thing every single day. I don't have any new experiences. I've never been on vacation. I've never done anything. Never done fucking anything. I don't do anything. Yeah. Even with my friend, I go to bed at 8:00 and I wake up at 4:30 in the morning and I don't fucking stop.
Yeah.
That's my life forever. So now I went on vacation recently. I'm like trying to do more new things and meet people and have new experiences. And it's paid off so much in my art. If I wasn't actively trying to do that, I would be living like I was, where I was pretty much fine, like just being by myself and working and like, because I'm tired and I'm like, but it definitely takes more effort for me to go out and meet people. It would never be my choice. So I would never really make plans. I'm just kind of, I've been pushed into plans by proxy and saying yes.
Yeah.
So that's really, it's just saying, yeah, I don't even make the plans. I just have to say yes to the plans. And that was very tough for me.
Challenging.
It's challenging.
So let me ask you this. Who you know or what you know? Which one do you think is more important?
Oh, this is very chicken or the egg type of a thing. Because if what you know is that you have to make friends to do what you like to do, then I would say, I'm going to take a very logical approach to this question. Well,
there's no right or wrong, by the way.
I think it's what you know, because what you know can align you with who you need to know or want to know.
Sure.
Just in what I feel like this was a loaded question. I was not prepared
for. Now I'm going to make you look like an idiot.
To do what? What's the end game?
No. It's, for me, it was like a question that I asked. I probably asked that question like 500 times.
Yeah.
500 different guests on the show. So I first wrote the question when I actually first started the show. And I thought it was going to be one of those, because I always heard that growing up. Like, oh, who you know is more important than what you know. It's all about who you know. It's all about who you know.
Oh, yeah, everyone says that.
It's basically only, it's exclusively used by people who got passed up for an opportunity because they, you know what I mean?
Yes.
They didn't know the boss's daughter or whatever.
Right.
So most of the time it's used in a negative connotation.
Right.
So I always heard that growing up. So one of the questions, you know, I have a show on networking, relationships, like who you know or what you know. And then they would all say who you know. And then we would talk about relationships and why who you know is better. And I started asking this question and then I started getting wildly different answers for the question.
Yeah.
And so that's why sometimes I still throw it into conversations, because I think it's still an interesting thought experiment, because I've now been presented with evidence from people who are much more successful than I am for both sides of the conversation. I still put it in the who you know category for me specifically, but I do like definitely agree that it is kind of a chicken and egg thing. And because the reason I brought it up is because you were just saying I was by myself and I was working and every day I did this and I did this and I did this. I was putting in the action. It's like that to me, that's the what.
Right.
Like what is like the categories of like what the things you actually know, like your knowledge, but also like your competence, your skill set, your craft. Like those are all under the what.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? The who is like the relationships that you have who are going to bring opportunities to you or potentially help you be better at what you do and help you improve or get better or whatever.
Oh, see, I see them as intertwined questions. Because you have what you have to know that
you
need
to be
people.
Competent. Like, oh, sure.
Where I'm like, otherwise, if you just think it's work, then you're not going to, you could be the best person ever, but you're not going to meet people to collaborate with.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying is chicken and the egg. It's like you have to know what that you need connections with people.
They're both vitally important.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it's now like the way I look at it now is it's more like cycles.
Yeah.
It's like there's going to be phases of your life where you should probably be focused on the what.
Right.
Like you should probably be like, if you're not good at anything, like you should probably go get good at something first. You know what
just
I mean?
Just go
like,
get good at something like, and come back.
Like
and
learn how
people.
To read and then come back to me. Yeah. You know what I mean? But you gotta be competent and you have to be like, especially in terms of like young people getting started in their career, it's like you gotta be competent and you gotta be ambitious and hardworking. It's like if you can do those, like if you have these qualities, to me, it's the who you know outweighs the what. Because if you go get around the right people who've been there, done that, walked the road 1,000 times before you, like they can help you learn at such an increased rate. Like they can shorten your learning curve by decades and turn it into a couple of years because they can be like, oh yeah, I did that. Don't do that. I did that. That worked. You know what I mean? Like they can help you so much.
That's interesting. I guess it just depends on like what your end goal is because I think I just took that and ran through a million scenarios in my head of, well, it depends. What do you want to do? Because like, it depends on what you want to do. I think if you want to be really good at something, like, I think the question gets a little bit muddled, but if you just want to be fucking famous, then it's all about who you know.
Yeah.
And if you don't care about like the quality of what you're doing, then you just meet someone and you could be like subpar and whatever.
Right. Right. It is such a nuanced thing because like the most outsized examples of it are still a what you know thing, I think.
Right.
If you get so good at something, then everybody wants to know you. If you're Mark Zuckerberg, it's like, well, you invented Facebook.
Sure, but it was about who he knew also once he did it. Like,
Like it was helpful while he was building it. To know the right people or bring the right people into the dorm room or whatever. But then now he gets every opportunity he could ever want or imagine because of the what? Because he's the inventor of Facebook. Or like a Joe Rogan, you know what I mean? It's like these people, they like Joe Rogan can meet anybody in the world that he wanted to meet.
Yeah.
With probably a few emails or text messages. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that's because of the what.
Right.
But the what was fueled by the who.
I know.
Because he built the show off of the who. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's this constant like cycling through.
Yeah.
But I like to bring up the conversation because I think the majority of people don't think of the who part as being that significant.
Right.
They're so focused on, oh, fuck everybody else. I'm just going to get really good at this thing. Like, I just need to focus on my craft. I just need to do this. Like, no, I don't want to go to that event. No, I don't want to go to that party. No, I don't want to go to that thing. And it's like, and then you start doing that and you couple that with skill, competence, knowledge. Yeah. And then it's like, shit, I wish I'd have done this 10 years ago. Because like that one person, or just me, that person, like that cut 3 years off of what I thought I was going to be able to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's to me, it's like the difference between incremental rates of time return and exponential rates of time return.
Yeah. I truly believe like if I was just still doing that, like still just like work, I probably would be like doing pretty well. But I think it's just like my happiness as a human being.
I was going to say, that's like the ultimate, like the thing that tips the scales to the who for me is the fact that like we're the loneliest we've ever been in society's history, even though we're also the most connected we've ever been. The other piece of that is I read this study from, I think it was Harvard recently, to my knowledge is the longest study of human beings' behavior in terms of achieving happiness. The longest ever standing study. And they started in like the 1920s or 1930s. And they followed these people throughout their whole lives. And at the end of their lives, they asked them the question of like, what's brought the most happiness type of a thing. And it was this detailed study. And when they first started it, they had these, you know, hypotheses that were, you know, based on your financial success, that were based on, you know, these other things. Oh, this is probably going to be it, or this is probably going to be it, or we think that this is going to be a major factor.
Yeah.
And turns out the number one factor overwhelmingly
in
the whole study was the human connection and the quality of relationships.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that tips the scales in the who direction.
Yeah.
Because like you can be so good at something, but if you're just fucking lonely.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, what do you, you know what I mean? You can go pet your Emmys all you want.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But
that's what I thought. I was like, I'm gonna be super successful and look around and be like, I've never been on vacation. I have no friends.
Yeah.
I do the same thing every day. Right. Like,
it's like everybody will remember me, but I won't remember anybody.
Exactly.
And it's like, that's not a great
I have no fucking life. No friends, no nothing. So, but that's true. For who you know. God, can you imagine being a part of that study? That your whole life you have some guy that shows up every like 4 months.
Just like in the bushes.
Yeah. It's like, that's Greg. He's doing this study of me.
Seems unhappy today.
How long long is he doing this? Forever. Until I die. And then he's going to ask me a question.
Yeah. Well, the unfortunate thing is that they probably agreed to do it like when $12 was a lot of money. Right. You know what I mean? They're like, sign this lifelong contract. We'll pay you $1,000. $1,000?
$1,000? King Greg's here again.
$12 a year for 94 years.
Yeah. I can't imagine. Oh my God.
But, you know,
crazy.
When you look back, is the only way that you can join the dots. You know, it's like Steve Jobs said, is there's no way that you can connect all the pieces moving forward. Like when you moved out here, you weren't like, all right, I'm going to start this YouTube channel. I'm going to meet these guys. And then we're going to do these collaboration videos. And like, that's going to blow up my social. And then that's going to lead to this other thing.
I told you, I did have that feeling though, when I was really young of, I'm going to have to do this. I remember like getting introduced to YouTube and my friends and being like, This is what they fucking meant. This is what that meant.
What year did you first get introduced to YouTube? In the context of, I'm going to start creating here.
Probably like 3.5 years ago.
Really?
I started my channel. Like I started my, I was doing a bunch of stuff with Stevie. Probably like 3 years. No. Yeah. I met Stevie like, I don't know, 6 years ago. And then I was working with him for a couple of years. And I was like, I should start doing this.
Yeah,
he was like,
yeah,
you should start doing this.
Yeah,
was,
no shit.
Yeah. So I guess I started my channel, I don't know. Maybe 3 years ago I started my own stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Might have been a little bit more. Time gets weird. But, and I had a following on Instagram, which is so weird. I had this following and then I started my, I'm so bad at business. I started my YouTube and then I just never told anyone.
Yeah. Like that you had YouTube.
Never.
No link in bio.
Nothing. Yeah. And then it just grew on its own. And then only recently, like maybe like the beginning of this year, my best friend was like, you should tell people that you have a YouTube. And I was like, never even occurred to me.
What?
I know. So, but like people would find me on there and I was growing on there. I wasn't even doing anything. Yeah. So now I'm starting to
do that. The nice thing about like kind of the short form content environment of Instagram and TikTok and other things is like people who consume that are going to go to YouTube and be like, oh, what else does she do?
Yeah. Or people on YouTube have no idea. Like people know me now from like, I saw you on Facebook or YouTube or it's never like one thing.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. And it's nice to know that like actual people are watching it, which is like really the best thing ever. If like someone's like, I love your videos. And I'm like, you're a person and not a bot. Yeah. This is cool. That's my favorite.
You're not trying to sell Forex on somebody else's Instagram account.
Exactly.
In comments. Yeah. And then the podcast came out recently too, right?
Well, so I've had this podcast for 5 years.
But you never told anybody about it.
No, I did tell people about the podcast. The podcast people know about. And I just started it because I was like, it was my best friend and me. And I was like, why not? It was one of those things where I was like, let's throw everything at the wall. The more like funny out there, why not?
Yeah.
So I started it with no expectations, just like doing it. My best friend and I talk for an hour. But recently she... Now, I was like very much like a stage parent. She's not an entertainer. She's just like wants to have a life with her husband and like a baby. And I was like, dance monkey.
Boring.
Yeah, fucking loser. You like don't want attention all the time. It's weird.
Well, you have security in yourself.
Oh, self-worth and not validated by other people. What's that like? So she was like, I don't want to do it anymore. And I was like, all right. So I have my good friend Christina has stepped in and so she's now my new co-host. And so, I mean,
how's that going? Do you like it?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I think it's super important, as I'm sure you can agree with now that you do this, is just talking to another individual for an hour.
Any extended period of time.
With no phones,
right.
Eye contact. I'm like, oh, weird people having a conversation and connecting.
Totally. It's almost an uncomfortable amount of eye contact. Like while I'm looking at you right now. I'm
well,
like,
it's weird now that we're talking about it. Now I feel uncomfortable. I didn't before. Before it was fine. But it's.
It is compared to real life, though, what you're saying. It's weird because it's like we're going to post this on social.
Sure.
Which is like almost kind of counterintuitive to what we're talking about. But the act itself is not something that happens frequently.
I mean, people fucking post that themselves doing whatever anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here doing this. But it's at least this feels like it is good for my brain and like to be a functioning member of society.
Mm-hmm.
Like whether or not my podcast does anything for me financially, like I think it's like going to therapy for me. Like I think it's important to take care of this aspect of being a human and connecting with people because we don't get to do it enough.
Well, and I think too, the more technology continues to change the work landscape, the soft skills are going to be a lot more valuable than even some of the hard skills.
Yeah.
And podcasting forces you to sharpen those soft skills,
like
communication, eye contact,
asking
somewhat relevant or interesting questions.
Listening.
That, you know, active listening. Yeah. All of these things that are actually very beneficial in whatever field that you're in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In any professional sense, like you need to have some of these like soft skills dialed in.
Attention span.
Yeah, right.
That's
right.
Really, truly, I get scared for myself. I'm like, oh my God, I need to like really connect with someone because I'm scared my attention span is just gonna, because it's happening to everybody, it feels like.
Right.
Nobody has
it. Well, literally when we were hitting the record button, I was talking to you about what the show's about while checking my watch and looking at a message. And I was like, oh yeah, I could probably put this on Do Not Disturb while
we're talking. It's, you know what I mean? It's hard though. Like it seeps into us. It's like becoming a part of our DNA where I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. It's like a real skill. Like when I start, I don't know if you're this way, when I started the show, I realized that I was not good at asking questions. I was like, oh, this is way harder than I thought. I was focusing on all the other parts of running a show.
Oh, of course.
You know what I mean? And then I was like,
you're like the computer.
Yeah, I was like, oh, we actually have to have content now.
Right, right.
This is not easy.
I'm still bad at it, but I'm good at it. I feel like my show is, I don't really ask questions. It's just more like conversational.
Talking,
and one thing leads to another, but still it's
its own skill set.
Yeah.
That's why I love when people say that they're going to be the next Joe Rogan, or they want to be the next Joe Rogan, or like it's easy to do what Joe Rogan does, or like they like play it down.
Oh
like
my
it's
God.
It's like, this dude's having a 3-hour conversation with a theoretical physicist. Try to have that conversation for 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's, I can't imagine doing that.
It's,
I can talk about farts and NPCs for an hour, but no, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it really is. It's such a skill. And I think it's so important, especially for you, who that's such an incredible thing to have. You're talking to all different kinds of people about so many different things. You're prepared for any situation, really, like most situations.
Well, when you find yourself in a room with, especially with, higher, quote unquote, higher status people, or celebrities or really wealthy people or whatever, best-selling authors or whatever, it's like, I've practiced now, unintentionally practiced having conversations with high-level people on the show all the time. You know what I mean? So I have to come prepared to those conversations.
Right.
I read their book. Like I have to gain more knowledge. I have to know how to at least speak somewhat intelligently about this topic.
Yeah.
And it helps me in social situations when I find myself in a room. Like before, I would have no idea what I'm supposed to say to this person.
Yeah.
It's like now I got stuff to talk about, or I have questions to ask. Yeah. They're genuine, real questions based on my own curiosity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's been extremely helpful. So
that's so cool.
Nikki, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank
we should do this
so
again sometime. It's
me.
A lot
I would
of fun. I love when the conversation just like when I get the notification that it's coming up on an hour, it's like, oh well.
It flew by.
Yeah, it flew by.
That was awesome.
Great time. Yeah. Thanks
so
for coming
on. Thank you for having
me. If you're watching, listening right now and you don't know Nikki, go check out some of her stuff. She puts out some hilarious things on YouTube, on Instagram. Give her a follow at Nikki Howard.
Nikki underscore Howard on Instagram, and then Nikki Howard on YouTube.
Nikki Howard on YouTube. NIKKI.
That's right.
All right.
Good.
Perfect. Nikki, thanks for coming on. This is a blast.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
That's it for today's episode. Thanks for spending some time with me and my friends. If you want to be better friends with me, then head over to travischappell.com/team to subscribe to my free newsletter, Your Friend Travis, where I share what's on my mind about life, building a business, raising kids, being married, and anything else I would normally share with my close circle of friends. That's travischappell.com/team. And my biggest ask of you, since I'm sharing my friends with you, is to share this episode with a friend of yours that hasn't listened to the show yet. Then leave us a quick 5-star rating in Apple Podcasts and in Spotify. It would mean the world to us as it helps us make sure that this show continues to be more valuable to you. Thanks in advance, and I'll catch you on the next episode.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.